This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hour two on this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Stormy Bonantoni alongside Jonathan Von Tobel. Off day for our guy Michael, but he will be back soon enough. Also this hour, we'll get Harry Gagnon, former Las Vegas sportsbook supervisor, on the show. He always comes locked and loaded with picks for a variety of sports, so see what he has today. We'll talk plenty of NBA draft because JVT here, a senior NBA betting analyst at the network. And we're going to get started, though, with a little College World Series talk, because I have been buying in. I love this time of year. I think that the College World Series is super fun. There's just something about Omaha, and now there's only four teams remaining, so things are getting pretty serious. Florida and Wake Forest, both with opportunities to earn a spot in the College World Series final today if they win their respective games. TCU would need to beat the Gators twice to advance, and same thing for LSU. They need two wins against Wake to make it to that point. Have you watched any of the College World Series stuff, or have you just been following the Jello Shots numbers online?
No, what are we up to? 22,000, like something, right?
I think it's over that. It's like, it's higher now.
Because Monday, Monday they broke the record of 21,365.
Don't ask
me. Wowee! So I'm clearly, I'm following the important things in college baseball. But no, I actually have not gotten a chance to really take in any of it other than some, you know, secondary screen on it because I want some live sports. So I'm willing to ask you anything and everything about this because I am coming from a place of ignorance.
I know you're all in on NBA draft stuff right now, and then you're going on vacation. So I don't blame you for not trying to add another thing.
My nights are spent perusing NBA Twitter and trying to find little nuggets. Actually, I found one yesterday that I excitedly texted Kelly about Scoot Henderson maybe going fourth. And I was like, it's probably not going to happen, but still. So.
But a guy can dream.
Yes, of course, because I have a ticket on him to do it at 36-1. So I'm hoping it happens. Come on.
Rooting for you, my guy. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say I'm sorry in advance. Is that okay?
That's all right. It's 36-1. Wait.
We'll get to the draft, though, in a little bit. Obviously getting underway tomorrow night. But I do have a bet in the first game of the day today in the College World Series, Florida and TCU. And the number seems to be steaming up that way. So Florida this morning was a minus 190 favorite on the money line, now minus 215. And I bet them on the run line minus 120. I see it minus 140 right now at a variety of spots. The total in this game, 9.5. So like I said, if Florida wins, they advance to the College World Series final. And I do think that they get it done and at margin. The thing that's working against me here is so far in both of their previous games at Omaha, they've been one run decision, 6-5 win against Virginia, 5-4 against Oral Roberts. But it feels like they can win big today, largely because their pitching staff is so fresh and their home run ball has been very, very dynamic. They, like I said, have only played two games since they've been up here in Omaha. So their third starter is good to go. They have really good depth, fresh guys in the bullpen. Their starter, Jack Caglione, somebody that a lot of people I know have fallen in love with. 1.61 ERA's past six starts, 3-1 record his last four. Walks are his problem when it creeps in. So I am just desperately hoping that's not been the case. But like I mentioned with the home run ball as well, high volume there. Since facing elimination in the NCAA regionals, they're on a 7-game win streak and they have out-homered their opponents 14-2 in that time. TCU has been a really, really good story. They've been fun to follow, but their pitching depth from everything that I've read and from what I've heard on the broadcast is pretty done about this point. They have a good starter. Their ace, a young freshman, I can't think of his name right now, Cole Klecker, he's 6-1 his last seven starts, so we'll see how long he can go. But after him, I don't think they've got much left in the tank.
Okay, so a couple of questions. So when you handicap these, do you just go by recent form? Is there a...
Largely.
Yeah.
For me, because I don't watch college baseball like throughout the course of the year. I really start paying attention at the regionals and supers.
Where do you get your stats from?
I just ran.
Well, because I'm actually curious, because you know me, like I'm a stat guy. So when I watch hockey,
I follow box scores.
Okay.
So I haven't been like, I don't have like a location because I'm not a deep dive handicapper for these stuff. So I follow box scores and I go to the school's websites.
Okay. Well, no, because I've asked that because we've had, what's it called? We've talked to some... college baseball handicappers, and I've asked this question, and they've just been like,
it's hard.
It's hard. Yeah, yeah. It's hard. And you know me, like, so we've talked about baseball the way I handicap Major League Baseball.
Like, even trying to find starters for who's going to be the pitcher, the pitching matchup for these games is tough.
There's so many different advanced metrics in baseball nowadays. You could probably find, I mean, I would assume it's somewhere out there, but if you're going on recent form, I think it makes a lot of sense. Would you be able to tell me why, unless I'm looking at DraftKings right now, Both totals are at 9.5. We got 11.5 on the screen.
Yeah,
so like,
I was going to say that went down from this morning. Yeah. And I'm not sure. I don't know, because I was looking at these numbers before we came on air today about an hour ago. So like those have just gone down 2 runs each, or 1.5 in the LSU game and 2 runs in the TCU Florida game. So I'm not 100% sure if there's any news that's come in recently for whatever reason, but.
Well, you're on the right side of the market, right?
It appears, yeah, at least for the side. So I hope Florida wins.
Well, yeah.
Please.
You laid a buck 20 on the run line. Of course you did.
I did. I would really like to see it happen. But like I said, the 2 games prior for them being 1-run games makes me not stoked. But I just feel like, generally speaking, like if there was a game that they were going to explode, it should be this one to cement their spot. Like TCU just seems like they've run out of gas.
So in your viewing of this, is Wake Forest rightfully the odds-on favorite? Should they be minus 105 here with still these other teams in contention?
So I do. I think it makes sense. They are the best team in the country. This is an interesting matchup today with LSU, because these are two teams that I do know throughout the course of the year have been the best in baseball. Mm. And Wake won this matchup the other day, 3-2 in that winner's bracket on Monday. Closely contested game that took Wake to come back in the eighth inning, and both of their wins in Omaha to this point have been late comeback wins. They've played a little, at least from what I understand, because like I said, I pay more attention late in the year once you get to the postseason versus the regular season. But from what I understand is they've actually taken a little bit of a step back so far here in the postseason. And I'm not sure what that's like indicative of, because you have to imagine being one of the best teams in all of baseball throughout the course of the year, you'd have some confidence coming in. But top seeds generally do not go on to win at all. So I wonder if there's a little bit of a pressure aspect to it.
Pressure aspect, or you're playing some of the best teams in college baseball,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, the opponents are a little different now, right. Too.
You're not wrong. Look, I don't know the depths of ACC baseball, but I would assume, right, you're not rolling through some of the whatever bad teams are in that conference, and you're facing some of the best teams in college basketball college baseball that they have to offer.
I think that because, you know, we're at the point of double elimination, if Wake wins today, they punch their ticket, but I think LSU is really, really good as well, and that this should be a competitive game. So I don't hate them as an underdog today, maybe. So maybe take the chalk in game one and the dog in game two.
Would you take a run and a half at minus 130, or would you bet them outright just to win?
I'd bet them outright, but I'm not afraid of laying a number if I feel comfortable in it, and I think it should be a close game. And they obviously covered the run line in the first meeting earlier this week, so maybe that's the play if you don't feel confident that they'll win outright. But back against the wall, you lose and you're done. I could see LSU making a push today.
Big jello shot advantage, you would think. That they do.
They do. The juice is loose. Maybe just the fans in attendance getting all willy-nilly will inspire the guys.
You ever had a jello shot?
They had a crazy... Oh, yes.
I've never had
one. I went to San Diego State for college. I've had jello shots.
Oh, I mean, I was going to... I was going to go back, harken back for a lot of different things. I've never had a jello shot before.
Really?
Never.
No way.
No, like I was actually asking the other day, like you can actually get drunk off jello shots, yeah?
Yeah, it's, I think, a delightful way to get drunk, actually.
Yeah, I never had one.
Because you just don't taste anything. You just throw them back.
Yeah.
It's glorious, I think. But just to close up my kind of thoughts there, LSU, they eliminated Tennessee yesterday with a 5-0 win, and that was a game where a lot of people were actually fading LSU. So if you think that LSU's not going to be able to step up yesterday they thought that the pitching was going to be done. They had this no-name kid that didn't have a single start. He comes in and just pitches an absolute gem. 7 strikeouts, no runs allowed. He was super, super fun to watch. And so I think that kind of helped out the pitching situation a little bit, because they only needed to use 2 guys and he ended up lasting a long time. So I think they're in a better position today than they were yesterday, and they won yesterday.
Okay.
So. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You know what?
What's his name? Nate Ackenhausen. He was the kid that did really, really good yesterday. I think that they should respond. And like I said, also, Wake has had to have comeback wins. So maybe if LSU can get out to a good start, they can just hold on and kind of put your pedal to the metal instead of letting Wake back into it.
It's always nice when you log in, you have a little bit more money in the account than you thought.
What'd you hit randomly?
I don't know. I'll have to check and see what it is.
Teach you how to do jello shots in the commercial break.
LSU Wake Forest. No. You're TCU Florida. You're Florida run line?
Yes. You're right. Coming with?
Let's ride.
Come join me. Let's go.
That's right. Even though it's Circa, they don't have the run line, so I'm just going to bet Florida money line, but we're in. Let's do it.
Okay. What's that up to here? I saw minus 180 this morning.
It is 180.
Still that. That's great. So look at you go. Yes. Let's go Florida. We'll have a little text chain going, watching a little College World Series. That game, by the way, First,
we don't have to do that.
First pitch right as our show wraps at 11 Pacific, 1 Eastern. And why not? Why don't you love me? Why don't you love me? All I want is your affection.
I mean, I think it's mainly because I think I'll be busy at that time, but yeah.
Last couple minutes here, and we'll revisit this on the backside. Okay, you don't watch any baseball. Based on what I mean, any college baseball, excuse me. Based on what we just talked about, though, with these four teams remaining, is there anything that makes you want to place a futures bet? Anything that you would say, hey, they could have a shot to win this thing?
I mean, listening to you, I would say maybe LSU is not out of it. And maybe you want to go in that direction. I mean,
I'm coin flip between Florida and LSU if I were to make a bet.
But I mean, so if I'm listening to correctly, I always listen. Florida wins, they move on, correct? So plus 180 on a team that's going to move on to the next round that we think.
And then potentially if LSU wins today, that just means Florida gets another day of rest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying.
Let's go Gators.
Go Gators. I think it's fun. Have you ever been to the College World Series? Have you been down to Omaha?
No.
It's a cool environment. I don't know. It was one of those bucket list things. So when I went a few years ago, it was really, really cool.
Okay. Yeah. No, I've never had the desire to go to Omaha.
Oh, well, not in general. I wouldn't say Omaha, Nebraska is like a premier destination to go hang out on a guy's trip.
Anybody out in Omaha who's starting to get mad, I'm not a well-traveled person. All right. I just left the continental United States for the first time in my life back in November. So.
And you're going on the vacation of your dreams to San Francisco. So
go explore Alcatraz. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Azkaban? The island. We talked about this last week too. Yeah, okay, yeah, you're going to the prison on the island.
Can't wait. Might leave the wife there.
Oh my God. That took a turn. We've got to step aside. Got some NBA draft talk when we come back. It's also Why Not Wednesday as we continue talking all things college football the next hour.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. I want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game. Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed, better year-round. You can check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel with you live from Las Vegas with the NBA draft approaching tomorrow. And I know at the end of the hour, we'll get into a lot of the odds movement that we've seen for that number two overall pick, revisit how you think things are going to shake out there. But Zion Williamson's been in the news a ton over the last week for on and off court reasons, but the potential for a trade for the Pelicans to move off of him. Do you think that that ends up happening? And if so, like, we've seen so many conflicting reports. So how do you feel about it right now?
Like reports that are specifically,
it's going to happen Thursday. It's definitely not going to happen. Yeah, you know, all that
specifically at odds with one another. I would say, so for setting odds on it, I think most probably is that Zion Williamson is a New Orleans Pelican by the time the draft ends. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think that is the most likely outcome. I don't think you're trading him just for Scoot Henderson outright. I think you probably want it as part of a package. I think maybe you want something back. Because there's still the potential that Zion's going to be Zion. You know, we see this a lot in sports. There are sometimes who guys have injury-riddled starts to their career, and it never works out. There's other guys who have injury-riddled starts to their career and then end up being really good players. I mean, it's a smaller scale, but Matthew Stafford had injury problems at the beginning of his career, turned out to be an Iron Man the rest of his career, and was awesome. So I think that you just want to hold out hope that he's going to be exactly what you expect him to be and that you're going to hold on to him unless something crazy comes along. So, and that's the other thing. You know, maybe it's number two and maybe it's Scoot Henderson, but outside of that, does Charlotte really have a much that you want to offer unless it's a pretty sweet deal? So I will say that he is going to be a New Orleans Pelican by the time this all is over.
With the Matthew Stafford comparison, he was an Iron Man at least until last year and until now.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
I mean, last year. That's now.
Yeah.
You want to try to correct me?
No, I'm just saying.
We've got 9 years of Iron Man-ness.
You're not wrong. And the benefit, I guess, that you have in a guy like Zion is that his birthday is coming up on July 6th and he's only going to be 23 years old.
Right.
So you would think that there's still potential for career longevity, for him to get a little bit more mature. Like, think about how immature you were at 23 years old. I can only imagine. But that maybe he'll start a little bit more, like, better decision-making, building better habits with the diet. Because the issues, I think that, like, you have all the injury concerns, obviously, but then you take it a step further. It doesn't help that when you are on the court, you have the weight issues that you do that almost make the injuries easier to happen. So can he get everything in line?
What do you mean by you can only imagine?
I can only imagine.
But me?
Am oh, I yeah, maturity? You.
No, yeah, I, look,
God
everything,
help your mother.
Everything you're saying is accurate when it comes to Zion. And I think, too, you know, one of the quiet things that the Pelicans have done this year is that they've quietly actually kind of changed out their training staff. And so that's part of the thought process is like, oh, okay, well, maybe they're trying to get some different people in because they clearly think that something is not matching up here. You know, I've often made the case, so like I'm an Angels fan. The Angels for a while, over the course of like 5 years, Stormy, had nearly 10 pitchers have UCL injuries. Like that, at some point, that stops being a coincidence and that's something you're doing wrong as an organization in handling your arms. And it's the same thing here where the New Orleans Pelicans at the very least seem to be looking internally and going, okay, he clearly can't stay healthy. Let's do something else. Let's see if what we're doing is kind of wrong in the process. And I think that might help too. Like you never know what a new look at something is going to really help you out with. So I think all of those things put together, I think it equates to Zion Williamson. Like you don't really give up on a talent like that. And I get it. You can give up on him for a guy that in Scoot Henderson, many believe next year would be the first overall pick. The year after that would be the first overall pick. Like that's how good Scoot Henderson is. But I just think at this point right now, Zion Williamson, when he's at his peak, if he hits, he's going to be better than all these guys.
Yeah, and you don't want to be – I understand the standpoint of, like, you don't want to be the GM or the team that has egg on your face if he does go somewhere else and has success. But then I also revert back to the good conversation that Michael and I had on the show here yesterday and kind of looking back on the great Bill Parcells quote that when a player shows you who he is, believe him. Like, is this just who ultimately Zion Williamson is, a guy who is over however many years span going to give you 114 games? Like, that's not – that's not what you want in your star player, and a star can only be so valuable for what they do for you on the court, and he hasn't largely been there.
Yeah, but I'd also
argue...
Because,
I mean, think they were third in the West last year before he got injured. And
I mean, they were first at
and
one
then,
point.
Yeah, and then he has the hamstring from hell that he didn't feel like himself, and even when you thought that he would come back for the play-in, he didn't.
I mean, the quote was, I don't feel like Zion. It's journalistic integrity, get the quote right.
Excuse me.
But I'd also, I would argue to like...
Paraphrasing, you know,
To use Lombardi's words against him there. Okay, but he's also shown us that he's a 27-10 guy who can shoot, like, you know what I mean, who can score with absolute efficiency.
I don't think there's any argument about the talent.
Right,
it's
so that's
just
why you don't, I don't think you give up.
Yeah. Okay.
I think too, we'll look, see. I mean, remember, in 2020, 2021, he did play 61 games. So like there is the potential that maybe he's going to be able to do this. We'll see if that's going to be the case. But to the overall point, to Lombardi's point, to your point, four seasons, 114 games, you want more out of a guy that you think is going to be your lead dude. And you just, I'm with you overall. Like you can't really, like you said, you trade him to Portland, him and Damian Lillard go, he all of a sudden catches, he's going to play like 70 games, he's going to be awesome, and goes on to have the career we expect him to. And then you're sitting around going, man, like we had him and we gave up a little too soon.
Any other teams that we should be like on the lookout for when it comes to trades this week?
So, I mean, yes, but they're going to be like inconsequential trades, okay. You know, like Cleveland, Milwaukee, and there's one more, the Phoenix, I think it is, all looking to trade back into the end of the first round to grab some guys. Those are kind of inconsequential picks because you're talking about upperclassmen. You're talking about fringe first round guys that really aren't going to be, you would think at least, a massive impactful role players right away. We have seen plenty of end of the first round, second round guys be good players for their teams, but nothing that's really going to move the needle. I will say the things to look out for the top of the draft, we mentioned Utah. Utah, like they like Bilal Coulibaly. They could also move up to get Keontae George. That's been a name that's been thrown out there. They have the 16th pick. They want to maybe get ahead of New Orleans to get that done. And remember, Orlando, Utah, Indiana, and Charlotte all have multiple first-round picks, and those could be used to move up and go get whoever they would like, but maybe we start to see that too.
Okay, cool. We'll get back to, like I said, the plenty of NBA draft talk later on here in the show, but these last couple minutes of this block, I want to go back to college football. We had a great conversation with Thor Nystrom specifically about the Big Ten, but big picture, Georgia is the favorite this year to three-peat as national champions, best odds by far to make the college football playoff, minus 250 to be among the last four standing. The only other odds-on number is Ohio State at minus 125, but Thor said Michigan is a team that he really, really likes. He could see playing for a championship. He has them winning the Big Ten for a third year in a row. They've made the college football playoff each of the last 2 years. Ohio State, two of the last three. But is it going to be the same, the usual suspects this year, or do you think there could be a wild card team that punches their way in?
I mean, it seems like the wild card team is LSU, right? And it's not really a wild card team because they won their division last year and they're an SEC power, but that could be the case. I really find it really hard outside of the teams that you've mentioned, like who's going to break through the ceiling and actually kind of get there and be a legitimate threat. I guess we could call that, you know, TCU was a legitimate threat because they got as far as they did, but then we saw the difference, right, in terms of actually winning a championship against these teams.
It was uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, you know, so like it's really, I find it really hard to kind of look around. One of the teams that I think, I haven't listened to it yet, but Tim Murray had Bud Elliott on the latest college football betting podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Florida State is a team that's really intrigued me because yeah. I think Florida State has a lot of really good returning pieces. I think they have a very high ceiling. Fascinating part there, though, is that they play LSU right off the bat, mm-hmm. and that could go a long way in determining whether or not that resume is going to be good enough to get to the college football playoff. But if their only loss is to an LSU team that eventually goes to the SEC championship game and maybe makes it to the college football playoff, it's going to be a good resume. But I think Florida State's probably at the top of the list, and that's going to be about it. At least we're talking about newcomers to the picture.
Yeah, I really like Florida State going into this year because, like, the lasting impression that you have of this team is they won their last five mm-hmm. games of the regular season. They beat Oklahoma in the Cheez-It Bowl. Those last five games that they won, by the way, I know. But hey, it's okay. We have a new Pop-Tart Bowl this year, and that's all that matters. Their last five regular season games, they won them by an average of 44-15. Like, that's pretty significant that's the pulse that they left their year on. So can they beat LSU, and can they knock off Clemson early in the season, who they play, I want to say, week 4 in Death Valley? So that'll be a huge game as well. Clemson was able to get back to the top of the mountain in the ACC last year. But Florida State just feels like they're kind of on that surge in the right direction that they could punch their way in.
And if they get through those two early tests, the schedule does open up pretty nicely for them because you're talking about Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Duke, consecutive home games, all three of those. You got to go to Pitt and Wake Forest. Isn't the worst.
That LSU game is at a neutral as well.
Right. So, like, it's not – if you get through – you got to split that, right? You got to split one of Clemson or LSU and then go kind of just essentially unblemished the rest of the way, and you do get Miami on my birthday. That'll be fun. At home, that's going to be a very big one. I think you got to take that one if you're Florida State.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Like, we're getting to this point of the off season where I'm very excited that we're going to have media days in a month.
Mountain West here,
where
right?
Mountain West right here at Circa, upstairs in the ballroom. I think it might be the ballroom where I'm getting married. Actually,
make it about you.
So, of course, it's pretty cool. But they'll be there first, so you know I'm secondary. What's San Diego State doing, by the way? Lord help my alma mater. What's going on? We got to take a break. Be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, now's the time to come join us here at VSiN. Become a pro subscriber today. You'll get the daily email recapping all of our best bets from show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page, where you can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can also check out the top VSiN experts leaderboard, where you can view betting records, profit, and ROI to see which of the VSiN experts has the hot hand at any given time. For VSiN Pro Picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $19. VSiN.com/subscribe. Those picks include from our guest, Harry Gagnon, who joins us now as he does every week, host of the Against All Odds podcast, former sportsbook supervisor at AAO. Harry, welcome in, my friend. And I am so excited. We're going to start with a little Major League Baseball with you because there is one bet I see that you have made today that is going to make my co-host Jonathan Von Tobel very, very happy.
Did I?
Absolutely not, because I respect the Von Tobes. It involves the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, though. So what do you got today on Shohei's squad?
What's up, guys? Yeah, listen, I'm on JVT's Angels tonight. Otani's pitching, obviously, having a tremendous season. He's I believe minus 400 now to win the MVP. He's first in the Angels in all his offensive statistics, batting average, home runs, hits, RBIs, on-base percentage. And he's first in most of the team's pitching stats too, and he goes tonight. He's first in ERA, wins Ks on the team as well. Dodgers just 5-10 guys in their last 15. I'm all over Ohtani and the Angels tonight. I think -145 is a steal.
Harry, do you think they're a playoff team?
I kind of do. This team is fun to watch. And again, I mean, I know Ohtani didn't win the MVP last year, tailed off a little bit, but didn't see a lot of great pitches in the second half of the season because the Angels were terrible. But they are hanging in the West. Them and the Rangers have had fantastic seasons. Astros are tailing off a bit here. I was actually a high on Seattle this year out of the West too. They haven't really done anything much either. So I think the Angels are going to maybe they'll win the division, but the Angels might be, I think they're going to be there for the playoffs.
Let's stick with baseball because yet we have 5 games in action right now, but still just a slew of games upcoming on the slate in the mid-afternoon and evening today. Is there anything else that stood out to you on the card or anything you wanted to put together?
How about this? Two team favorite parlay, guys. Parlay pays +180. Let's start with the Mariners, -170 over the Yankees. Luis Castillo on the mound. Last 5 starts, he's given up to 6 total earned runs. And in those 5 starts, he's got 40 Ks. And since Judge has been out with his injury, Stanton, Rizzo, LeMahieu, Josh Donaldson, all of them batting .160 or less since then. So give me the Mariners at -170 with Castillo on the mound. Parlay that with a twin, Sonny Gray, at -130. Gray having another nice season, 2.37 ERA. Went 5 innings in his earlier start versus Boston this season. Gave up just 1 run and had 7 Ks in that. I know Boston's won 6 in a row, guys, but Garrett Whitlock's on the mound today for them. ERA is almost 4.5, and he's given up 7 earned runs in his last 18 innings. I'm on the Twins, and I'm on the Mariners, both on a two-team parlay pace, +180.
All right, let's go to a couple of things that are in my wheelhouse outside of just the Angels, who I love very much. Let's talk about the NBA draft coming up on Thursday. First off, anything that you've got to bet? I think you've got something in terms of a player draft position prop, correct?
Yeah, how about this one, guys? I got Jordan Hawkins of UConn going over the 16.5 pick at -130. Look, for the most part, he was fantastic in UConn's run to the title. But in 2 seasons in Storrs, Connecticut, he did have more turnovers than he did assists. His defense was average, so it's all about his jumper. I'm kind of looking at, like, number 17 right after that 16th pick. Number 17, the Lakers could work out for L.A., who isn't a good shooting squad. And also maybe, I know Harden, there's been talks of him going to Tillman Fertitta and going to the Rockets. If he does, I'm looking at maybe that you could drop a little bit and go 20th to the Rockets. But I like him going 17th to the Lakers, but going over that 16.5 is Jordan Hawkins.
If Harden does go elsewhere, by the way, I feel like that's almost like an addition by subtraction.
He won 2 playoff games in the semifinals.
I just like saying stuff that gets you heated. Let me live my life to the fullest, okay? But, I mean, sticking with that theme of potential trades and guys going elsewhere, there's a number of question marks when it comes to Damian Lillard right now. But while there is something that we know, and that's Bradley Beal is the newest member of the Phoenix Suns, and there's a lot of offensive firepower on that team, not a lot of depth right now. What's your view on Phoenix moving forward after that deal?
Yeah, you know, guy, I don't love the deal. I definitely don't, because look, you get the deal. Now you have 3 scorers, but you have no defenders, and you really don't have any bench. Between KD, Beal, and Booker over the last 2 seasons, this is really concerning. They've missed 180 games. 180 games over the last 2 seasons. 3 and 4 years back, Beal averaged 31 points per game. But the last 2 seasons, he's averaged just 20. That was still a nice season, nice game, averaging 23, but 8 points down from 3 years ago, and hasn't played more than 60 games in a season in 5 years. And if one of these big 3 goes down, it's going to be a lot of losses, I think, because, again, there's no defense, no bench for Phoenix. And I still don't even know what they're going to do with Ayton. I mean, if you keep Ayton on the team, he's definitely – no one's looking for him to get the ball down low or anything like that. So his points are going to come off putbacks from all the offensive boards. But, again, I just think, again, last time KD had the big 3, didn't work out so well in Brooklyn. I just don't love this here because, still – you have no defenders. How are you going to still take care of Denver and Jokic? I just don't think you can. They better make a deal. Matt Ishbia, it makes a deal for need to get somebody on the defensive end, because no bench, no defenders means I don't think you're winning the West.
How about say screw it? Let's just throw all the money at the problem. Let's go get Draymond Green.
Could go out and get Draymond Green. That would be something else. That would just be great in terms of watching Phoenix versus Golden State games. That would be must see TV. I think the fans would embrace Green in Phoenix. I think it'd be an interesting situation. It would be good. I mean, I think that's something that the Phoenix would need. A guy with like motivation, that type of way, especially on the defensive end. You don't need Green to get you any points. Just get the rebounds and do the dirty work inside and get the team pumped up. And I think that would be a good fit.
Does Draymond ultimately end up going anywhere, though, or does he just stay with Golden State? Because they've talked so much about how they're not a championship contender of the future the same way if they don't have Draymond with them. I know he declined the player option at the $27.5 million, kind of the last opportunity to get the big contract, but the Warriors seem to want him back. Does he end up ultimately landing there?
I know they do want him back, and I've heard Steve Kerr mention that too, but I don't know. I don't think he does. I think eventually he goes somewhere. On Against All Odds later this afternoon, we're going to discuss this too. I thought maybe another nice landing spot for Draymond would be in New York with the Knicks. I think he'd bring that attitude with him that the Knicks are not used to. The fans would embrace him as well. And he played in 73 games this past season. That's his most he's played since 2017. I think Draymond would be a great fit in New York for the Knicks.
My team would be the Pistons, actually, Harry, because you get to go back home to Michigan. It's a team that desperately needs a power forward. They have the money to do it. And by all means, they actually reportedly want to accelerate their timeline. It would actually be a pretty nifty fit, I think, for the Pistons.
Boy, still, it just hasn't – Cunningham hasn't worked out so great. Does it just seem like Detroit is jinxed with whoever they get? Mm. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
I think so. I mean, you've had some bad injury luck, but I think Cade Cunningham is going to be pretty good. Although I will say this is coming from somebody who did bet their win total over last year, and Cade Cunningham got hurt, and I'm very dejected about it. So ask me again
right.
In a year.
That was rough. Yeah.
We talked a lot of Big Ten football earlier in the hour, and I understand you made a win total bet in the conference as well. What'd you place?
Yeah, you know, I got Michigan over 10.5 at -130, guys. Like, yet another cake non-conference schedule for them, which I'll get to in a second. But J.J. McCarthy returned, solid quarterback. Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards will be back in the backfield for the Wolverines. They had 25 rushing touchdowns combined. Again, the schedule. They don't go on the road until the last day in September versus Nebraska, who has a new head coach. The first four games are in the Big House against East Carolina, UNLV. Go Rebels, right? Bowling Green and Rutgers. They play Purdue at home. Purdue's got a new quarterback. They got to go at Penn State. But Sean Clifford's gone out of Penn State, too. And they get Ohio State at home. And they're at Michigan State, which could be a tough one, obviously, one of their rivals. But they were terrible last year, too. So I think Jim Harbaugh and his Wolverines get the over 10.5. I think they can run the board.
Back-to-back Big Ten champs. Can they do it again? Awesome stuff. Appreciate your time, Harry.
Always, guys. Take care.
Harry Gagnon. Make sure you give him a follow at AAO Harry. Check out the Against All Odds podcast wherever you get your podcast. And, I mean, something, too, that we didn't even talk about much with him or Thor is how re-strengthened that offensive line is as well for Michigan. They have had one of the best in the country, and then they just go restock it in the transfer portal with some significant talent. We're going to step aside, wrapping things up, giving final thoughts on our bets and the NBA draft ahead of tomorrow night.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, You can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Plus, remember, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties, not only here on the Las Vegas Strip, but nationwide as well. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We are closing things out here on the Lombardi Line, presented as always by BetMGM.
I'm here.
He's here. Stormy Bonantoni and JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. He's very sensitive about the Von, not Van. Come up to him and say, you're that Van Tobel guy. Don't do it.
I mean, I'm building a brand, so let's get that straight. Second off,
I like JVT. It's very smooth.
Yes. I did not come up with that, but yes. You know, I don't know if I told you this or not. My dad actually has a vanity plate that says JVT on it.
Does it?
Yeah, my dad's John. I'm Jonathan. He also claims that people stop him and like, are you J-? Like, I don't believe him because I think that's just a dad trying to be, you know, overly proud of their children. But yeah, I'm not the first JVT. How about that?
Love
also,
it.
I'm trying to think of what people would call you on it. What do you get on accident with your last name?
So I don't get stuff on accident with my last name. I mean, people just kind of think it's a pasta, and so I get like Bucatoni and stuff because they think
Bucatoni.
It sounds like a
really?
Pasta. Okay. Yeah, I've gotten that. Most of the stuff I get is with my first name. Like, people can't remember that it's Stormy, and they just know that it's like a weird word.
Okay.
So I've gotten Smokey a ton.
I
swear to you.
I don't believe that.
On multiple occasions. Like, the first time it happened to me was my first job when I was in college, and we had these, I was working at a restaurant, and you have those little like headsets, like go clean table, whatever. And the person could not remember my name, and they're like, can you get Smokey over here to table two? Need to bus it.
Where'd you work?
And that was the first time it happened, at Applebee's.
Yeah, that's right, I thought Applebee's.
I worked at Applebee's and Carrabba's in college.
That's right, Carrabba's. Yeah,
there we go.
Carrabba's is a good spot. I don't know if it's a national chain, but Carrabba's is a good spot.
But yes, I agree. And so Smokey, but that's been a frequent one. And I always thought it was so strange because I've gotten it multiple times in my life.
That's insane. Smokey. Because that's like five different letters.
Bonantoni, it's just like people try to sound it out, Boone and Tony a lot.
So what gets me with your last name is, do I pronounce the second N?
I don't think you have to.
Is
I do.
Right?
I say Bonantoni.
Okay,
but you
that's
can
what
say,
I try to
but
do.
But you can say
you.
Bonantoni, right. And it sounds pretty much the same.
All right. I try to pronounce the second N when I say it. But
don't trip yourself up. I can't say eligibility. If you can't say Bonantoni, no big deal.
Bonantoni.
It's just one of those things. But I can say Wembanyama, though. I've learned that now turn our attention to the NBA draft. Am I saying it wrong?
You've been saying it wrong the whole time.
Wembanyama? How do you say it?
Wembanyama.
Shit! I'm going to kill myself. That's one of those things. Okay, Victor Wembanyama.
There you go.
Going to go number one overall to the Spurs. Pro tip, by the way, we do these every single show here on the network. And today is just a reminder, especially for anybody that is getting involved in betting the draft. Just a reminder that in some states, you got to get your bets in today because they have a 24-hour rule.
Just say it like it is. Nevada's
All
rules.
Right.
Nevada's rules are archaic, and some of these shops aren't even hanging these up. So if you can find the one lone book that has decided to put up NBA draft props, remember, you got to get it in by 5 because we're scared. That's what it is. That's the pro tip.
You know, wow. I wasn't going to sip all the Haterade today, but apparently you did. Took a big swig before we got on the air today. Had some hater tots with it as well.
Haters?
Hayden.
No, it's true. Just hang it.
Yeah, especially I wish they would. It is one of those things that is frustrating about Vegas in general is that it was the marquee destination for all things sports betting, and now it's slowly but surely getting left in the dust in a lot of areas. But it's, you know, just the way of the world.
I just calls them like I sees them.
Come on, Nevada Gaming Commission, step your game up. We want to give you our money. Let us do it.
Either that or how about, like, can I bet on this thing? You know, can I log in and do it? Can I not have to go in and give blood samples and all sorts of other DNA just to get an app open? Let's go.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, NBA draft. Go.
Oh, are you saying who are the first overall
pick?
I thought you were like,
do.
I thought you were like, yeah, all right, draft time. So this is my mock draft from Monday night, Tuesday morning. This is going to change. I'm going to put out one last one tonight/early tomorrow morning. The change will be 2-3. Every bit of intel over the last 48 hours has been Brandon Miller is going to be the second overall pick. And who am I to spit in the face of noted NBA insiders like Adrian Wojnarowski and Jonathan Givony? So, and Jeremy Wu, as also over at ESPN. So I will switch Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson. And I will also say, if take your eyes to number four, please. Cam Whitmore is, I've called him like a linchpin of sorts, Stormy, because his fate kind of changes almost everything. And one of the other big developments that came at the beginning of the week was the fact that Cam Whitmore, who by every single account from when we started talking about this at the end of February all up until Monday, had never sniffed anything outside of the top five, has been sliding, if you will. And all of a sudden is not going to be in the top five after months of being solidly a top five selection. At one point, his draft position prop was 5.5, shaded to the under at nearly $4. That is now flipped, and it is 5.5 shaded to the over at about nearly $2. So Cam Whitmore's fate has completely changed. But why that matters is if Cam Whitmore was going to go 4, that pushed Amen Thompson down, in like it is in my mock draft, to number 6 to the Orlando Magic. That pushes a guy like Taylor Hendricks to 7. It has all these different ramifications. But if Cam Whitmore is going to slide, and all of a sudden it's Amen Thompson who's going to go number 4, that means that the Detroit Pistons, who don't seem to be in on Cam Whitmore, aren't going to take him. So that can mean that he slides even further. So that's like one of the low-key big developments of the week. It's not even just Brandon Miller. It's the fact that Cam Whitmore all of a sudden doesn't have a home in the top five, and that changes everything with how we thought this thing was going to shake out.
Anthony Black. Why can't everybody's name be that simple?
I mean, what, Grady Dick, Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore?
Cam Whitmore.
There's actually some pretty easy names in here.
Amen. People could say Amen.
It's Amen. You know, you just do some research and like,
I'm just saying.
Just like I asked you, how do you properly pronounce
out there.
Your name?
I was impressed with you going from Wembanyama to Wojnarowski. Mm-hmm. So fluid. That was, I mean,
Bilal Coulibaly.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. Coulibaly, too, by the way. That's one to watch. So his draft position probably just threw it up. So it's 11.5 shaded to the over, $140. A lot of intel's pointing to him as a top 10 guy. And so it's still the under at plus 115. There has been a flat out report by one draft guy. I mentioned him, Rafael Barlow, who says that the Jazz explicitly want him at 9. Here's the thing, and this is why, again, tying it back to Whitmore, we don't know how the Jazz feel, though, about Cam Whitmore. And so let's say that Whitmore all of a sudden slides, and at 9, you have a choice between Bilal Coulibaly or Cam Whitmore. We don't exactly know how the Jazz feel about it. Maybe it's a value pick. You take Whitmore over Coulibaly, and Coulibaly slides outside of the top 10. So there's a lot of moving pieces. But I'll also say this. I'll give you one more interesting name. So Kobe Bufkin right there at 13.5. His underprice is at minus 200. One of the interesting reports that Givony had at the beginning of the week was that Kobe Bufkin was not like meeting with teams, that certain teams had trouble getting him in the building. And the thought was that, hey, you know, maybe he's got a promise somewhere and he's kind of just like saying, I don't want to work out for you because I know where I'm going to go now and I want to go there. And he also reported, Givony, that the Oklahoma City Thunder haven't been able to get his medicals. But he's still mocking him to Oklahoma City, which is weird because I don't know about you. If I'm team building, I don't want to really draft a guy I don't have his medicals or I can't get into the building. But it seems to be the case. So Bufkin's a really interesting guy because the thought is that he might have a promise, that he's been making himself limited availability to a lot of these teams. You just don't know who it is yet. But he's been solidly mocked to Oklahoma City, pretty standard throughout the entire mock drafts. And that's right about that 11.5 mark. And that's shaded to the over to $140. Oklahoma City picks 12.
Anyone that you think is just really underrated and is going to be a good NBA player that's not being talked about right now?
I mean, I don't know if he's underrated because he might be a top 10 pick, but the more I've watched of Coulibaly, the more I like him a lot. Like, the guy's awesome. You know, standing reach, it's like about what I think it's like 8-1 is what I measured or what it's been measured at. He's awesome defensively. He's got an offensive game that fits really nicely with what the Utah Jazz want to do. I think that a lot of people, you know, we get wrapped up in Wembanyama, but I think his teammate, Bilal Coulibaly, is going to be freaking awesome.
Good stuff. Last minute here, just a reminder as well, the College World Series game one of the day is about to have first pitch in about 15 minutes or so. And I did bet the Florida Gators on the run line today in that game against TCU. If Florida wins, they do advance to the College World Series final. We're in that double elimination semifinal stage. So I like Florida today. I think just in general, they're going to have the fresher pitching staff. Their third starter is going today. He's been really, really solid. And the home run volume has been there significantly versus a TCU team that has been struggling. And it looks like it's probably out of gas to an extent, especially when it comes to their pitching depth. So give me Florida on the run line. And then I lean LSU in game two, but haven't placed a wager there yet. We'll see if I end up buying in on it after all. But you join me on Florida Gators, so go Gators.
You'll get at least one text from me later today.
See what we can do. Appreciate that. Hopefully it's a nice text versus the gifts you send me that are cruel.
What did I say?
Cry.
I didn't even send it.
I don't know. I just remember the last picture you sent me was an unfrosted Pop-Tart, and it made me very uncomfortable. That's a wrap for us today. VSiN Best Bets coming up next.